This is the Mike Farwell Show on 570 News.
And last night, in idly flipping some channels between news and a hockey game and AMC, I came across the movie The Day After Tomorrow, which is, if you haven't seen it yet, Dennis Quaid, Jake Gyllenhaal, anyway, they're in the movie. And it's about a series of major weather events, severe weather events that essentially lead to a new ice age. It's very apocalyptic. But I've noticed it on our televisions with increasing frequency of late, and I noted as much to my beloved. And I said, what do you think they're trying to say here? Is this being played over and over again of late, deliberately, because of all of the talk in our world right now around climate change? Of course, we know how the United States government views it. We know there's a battle over carbon taxes happening in Canada. And I wonder, I don't know, but if there's method to the madness of these television networks to remind us of the very dangers. Again, the movie goes to great extremes, but I think it's curious, to say the very least. And so we take a look at the increasing incidents of severe weather that we've been seeing. And we know all too well, as far as flooding goes around here, and we ask how communities can prepare for bigger storms. Blair Feltmate is the head of the Intact Center on Climate Adaptation at the University of Waterloo and joins us to talk about a new report. Blair, it's great to get you back on the show. Thanks so much for the time.
Well, thank you for having me.
What is it that you were looking at in this report to see how communities can prepare for bigger storms?
Well, it's a combination of factors. It's what individual homeowners within the community can do to better prepare their house for preventing the situation of overall having a flooded basement. And then what can you do at the community level itself to lower the probability of flooding being impactful? And there's a lot that you can do at the level of the house. Everything should start, in my opinion, at least at the level of what the individual homeowner can do to mitigate the probability for basement flood risk. But then also at the larger level of the community, there are things you can do, and we looked at both.
Let's start then in the home. And what can, because we know certainly in New Hamburg, Baden, along the Nith, and in Woolwich, we've seen the flooding firsthand and rather severe over the last couple of years. What is it that we as homeowners can be doing to mitigate the impacts?
Well, the first thing people should do is, before doing anything around their property, is call their insurance broker and find out, by the way, if my basement was to flood, what am I covered for what amount of money and for what type of flooding? Very often, the first time people look into whatever insurance coverage they may have for water in the basement, it's when they have 4 feet of sewer water in the basement, which is, you know, that's not the time to look into it. And by the way, there are different types of insurance coverage. For example, if a big storm occurs and water backed up through the sewer system and came up through the little drain in your basement that's normally there for if the dishwasher overflows, that's called sewer backup flooding. Are they covered for that? Is a homeowner covered for that? Or if water came through the side window of your house, that's another type of flooding. That's called overland flood risk. People should find out, are they covered for that? And if so, to what amount? Now, once they've done that, they should be doing some basic actions around their home to lower the probability of water ending up in the basement, starting with, for example, disconnecting the downspout from the eaves trough system. If that disappears into the ground, into the weeping tile system around your house, cut that off, put an elbow on it, and direct water 3 meters away from your house and obviously not towards your neighbor's house to a safe location. People should have plastic covers over their window wells to make it such that when the big storms hit, the water doesn't fill the window well and subsequently flow into the basement. They should have watertight windows at grade level, because if water does get up to the edge of the house, you want to make it so it can't just flow through the window, through the cracks. They want to contour around the house to direct water away from the foundation versus towards it. Within the house itself, they should be checking, if they have a sub pump in the basement, if there's a well in the basement with water in it and a pump in it, pour a bucket of water in there just to make sure that this thing works, that it's not seized up, that the time you need it, it's actually going to work. They should have battery backup supply for the sub pump, which for $175 or something like that, can run the sub pump for up to 3 days If a big storm occurs, and often when big storms occur, the electricity goes out, then the sub pump doesn't work at the time you need it, so you need battery backup supply. They should have a plumber in to see whether or not they need a backwater valve on the drain line in their basement that makes it such that when the big storms hit, the water can't back up into the basement and flood that way. It allows water to flow out but not flow in. And then above all, this happens frequently, people want to make sure that the drain in the basement itself, it's not covered up, that you haven't tiled over a drain in the basement, or you don't have carpeting over it, or whatever it is, so that at the time you need it to drain, it actually works. And almost everything I've described there can be done by the average person who's reasonably handy working around their house on a Saturday and maybe a Sunday morning. You know, these are not that difficult of things to do.
Okay, what about communities, Blair? Because it's clearly too late to undo what we've done insofar as where we have built homes on floodplains. And I know we are working certainly when it comes to letting people know of the approach of severe weather, the possibility of the flooding, for example. What else can communities be doing?
Well, be looking at wherever they've removed natural infrastructure to make an effort to try and retain natural infrastructure within the city landscape. More bioswales, for example, or naturalized areas to give water a place to go when the big storms hit versus having everything paved over. These berms, diversion channels, holding ponds, cisterns, bioswales, there needs to be a systematic evaluation of in towns and cities to find out where can we get the most bang for the buck in reference to the deployment of those types of actions I just mentioned to lower the probability of flooding in the community. Now, the pushback will always be, well, we can't afford to do this berm or this diversion channel or this holding pond. But by and large, as a general rule of thumb, with the severity of storms that are being realized today, for every $1 spent on adaptation, the reality is you save between $4 and $12 in avoided flood costs over a 10-year period. In other words, the upside on savings is certainly makes the investment worthwhile.
Final question, Blair, and I've run myself tragically short of time here, but I wonder from your perspective and the work that you do, how concerned are you with the increasing incidents we're seeing of severe weather and that connection to climate change?
Well, for sure. Well, first of all, climate change has happened, is happening, and will continue to happen. Climate change is irreversible, period. We might slow down the rate of change, but we're not going to stop it. And the severity of the weather is getting greater going forward, to the point now that we have an increasing frequency of an uninsurable housing market involving in Canada from coast to coast, whereby people just can't get insurance coverage for flooded basements because the risk of the flooding is so high that the cost the insurers would have to charge is exorbitant, off the charts. And so we have to work very, very aggressively now to get risk out of the system by deploying the types of actions that I've just mentioned.
Blair, always appreciate your time and perspective. Thank you so much.
You're certainly welcome. Anytime.
Blair Feltmate joining us from the University of Waterloo, where he is the head of the Intact Center on Climate Adaptation.
This is the Mike Farwell Show on 570 News.